Father, please help us, Lord, to listen to you, to heed your words. Lord, thank you for everything that you have done thus far, Lord, even in this service. Thank you for every word that's been spoken, every note that has been played, every word that's been sung. Lord, thank you. Lord, seal it in our hearts. Take what you're speaking to us and, Lord, keep it. Keep it in our hearts. Help us to heed it, follow it, obey it. We need your wisdom. We need your help. We thank you for your living word. We thank you that as we read, you speak. And so right now, Lord, as we read your word, Lord, open our hearts. May we listen for your voice. May we wait in expectation for what you are going to tell us. We need to hear from you. Get me out of the way. Let us hear from you, Jesus, your message to us. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Good news, grace. For dads and others. Well, if you're a dad here today, listen for God's good news, his grace to you in your life overall, his grace to help you in everything, and then especially in fathering, to help you in fathering or grandfathering, or we may have missed some great grandfathering that's being done here today. Receive his grace and empowerment and live out of it. But not just dads, but others, all of us. Let's all receive the grace from our Abba Father, our Daddy. Apply it to our lives and live it out. Well, let's look at it. Let's see this grace in action. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 with me. And let's look at verses 11 through 21 in Galatians 2. If you're still looking, if you're new at this, that's in the New Testament. That's that last third of the Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Romans, and look past, just past Corinthians, you'll see Galatians. A good way to remember these epistles here, right here together, is General Electric Power Company. Or some people say, go eat popcorn. And you'll have these little epistles right here, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Let's listen to it. Galatians 2. Now, Paul, the apostle Paul, is about to oppose Peter right here because Peter is not acting in accordance with the gospel, with the good news, with the truth that he knows. Peter is submitting to peer pressure. Really, there's some other people, another group that is coming in here, the Judaizers, and they had a skewed belief that their some of their workings of the law, some of their ceremonial obedience to the law, especially circumcision. They're mentioned here, the circumcision group, but they were believing that justification or being right in God's sight, being made right before God or your salvation, they were believing that it was by faith in Christ. Plus, you've got to be circumcised and other obedience to different ceremonial laws. And that's just not true. That's a false gospel. That's not the good news. And so these guys come in there and Peter has been acting according to God's word and his will and his ways, and Peter's been doing everything right, but when this group comes in who believes the wrong thing, Peter starts, that peer pressure gets him, and he starts acting differently. He starts not doing what he knows is right according to the gospel. Let's look at it. Listen to it. And then Paul opposes him to his face here. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Hear and receive God's good news, his grace. The word gospel means good news. Hear his gospel. Hear his good news. Hear his grace. Receive his grace. I love the definition that I love of grace is God's grace. It's a free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that God just pours out upon you like a waterfall continuously. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. Matter of fact, you earned and deserved the opposite. We earned and deserved death and hell. But God loves us so much. His grace pours out upon you free, no strings attached, unearned, undeserved favor. God's favor and his love, his infinite love, just pouring on you when you didn't deserve it and you didn't earn it. It's grace. He pours out his love upon you continuously like a waterfall. Free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy. It's just given to you. It's free. It's too amazing to believe. It's so amazing that people stumble over it. People say, oh, it couldn't be that good. You know, salvation can't be that easy. You know, God did it all. I just believe. I trust him, you know. Yeah, it's just too good to be true. Yeah. Some people stumble over it because it's so amazing. You know the song, Amazing Grace. What a fitting song. That's what it is. There's an acrostic that I like also that for grace, G-R-A-C-E. It's God's riches, just everything God wants to give you and pour out of you. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's free to you. It's free and unearned for you. God, all of God's riches. But it's very, very expensive, but somebody else paid for it. Christ paid for it. It was at his expense for you. He took the tab for you and paid it all so you could just have it freely. That's grace. Very expensive. Cost him his life, his blood. Incalculable suffering that we can't even comprehend. Some people just think about the physical suffering of Christ on the cross. Oh, that was nothing. That's probably the lowest level of his suffering. On that cross, it was the physical suffering. whole other dimensions of suffering that he went through. So he paid a lot, but grace is, it's free for you. It's just offered to you. It's a gift. Good news grace for dads and for others. Notice the first thing here in this grace. You only have to please Christ. You only have to please Christ. Get that in your head and in your heart and live it out, because we don't. We're too often like Peter. We mess it up. We try to please people around us. We're people pleasers around us. We submit to peer pressure way too much. You only have to please Christ. That's his grace. Look at verses 11 through 14. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" Well, what's going on here? Well, Peter comes from Antioch, and Peter came to Antioch, and but he had been in line with the gospel, not having to follow the dietary laws. He was eating with the Gentiles, and he was with them, and he was eating with them. He wasn't following those strict ceremonial dietary laws. But then when this circumcision group came, these guys who believed the wrong way, who were adding to the gospel, these guys who believed in faith in Christ, plus you got to be circumcised and you got to follow certain laws to be saved, to be justified. And when I say justified, that means just to be where God makes you right in his sight, where God declares you righteous. When he looks at you, he says, "I declare this person righteous. They are pleasing in my sight. And when they die, they are going to be with me in heaven. They are justified. I don't have anything against them." That's to justify. Well, they believed it was faith in Christ to be justified, this circumcision group, these Judaizers. Plus, you got to be circumcised. You got to do this. They had legalism. They added other things to salvation. And you need to do this. You need to follow this rule. And don't do this and do this. And it's all that. But the truth is, it's faith in Christ that saves you, that justifies you. You put your faith in Jesus. That's what grace is. It's a free gift. You put your faith in him. And he's done everything necessary. And so Peter was acting the right way. So he's eating with Gentiles and who these other guys would not eat with. And he's eating what they eat. But then these men come and they arrive. And so he begins to draw back. He sees these men, and who knows what went through his mind. "Oh my goodness, there's the circumcision group. I'm sitting at this table with these Gentiles. I'm eating their food. I got a pork loin here." Who knows what he was eating. And there's the Judaizers. "Whoa! I hope they didn't see me." Kind of steps back from the table. I'm paraphrasing. And, hey, guys. Look at these Gentiles here. What happened? Peer pressure. He knew what was right, but he did what was wrong to please people, to please others. So he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of them. He was afraid. Who knows what all his fears were? Maybe afraid of what they'd think or what they'd say or what they'd do, maybe. And so he drew back. And then the others join. What happens when we do that? Others see us. he's a believer. You know, he's acting like this. She's a believer, and she's doing, I guess it's okay, I'll do it. What happens? We lead others astray when we please people and not him. And then others will see that. Oh, you know, this Christian, right? He's okay if they talk like that in the workplace, you know. And he acts like it's fine. I heard him say one of those jokes. Must be okay. He was afraid. And then the other Jews joined him, so others followed. He was not acting in line with the gospel. And so Paul confronted him to his face in front of everybody. Well, learn from this what hopefully Peter learned from it. You don't have to please others. You please Christ. You only have to please Christ. Live for an audience of one. Stop being a people pleaser. Stop trying to please everybody around you. Even, you know, we can deceive ourselves and think, oh, it can be a good thing to please people around. I want to please my wife and my children. We can put different people in there. Well, I need to please them. But we need to live for an audience of one. Please him. Everything else will come out in the wash. He'll make sure everybody's taken care of. You seek to please him. Live for an audience of one. Big Daddy Weave has a great song about it. In my audience of one, you are Father, Spirit, and Son, or something. You might know the song. You can look it up on YouTube or something. But live for your audience of one. Sarah Portis is a sweet, godly lady here in Montgomery that loves Jesus with all of her heart, and she's Dr. Sarah Portis. She was a licensed professional counselor, and years ago, she was the counselor at Trinity Presbyterian Church, the counselor on staff, and Allison got to work for her, and Allison got to just reap the benefits of just this godly lady. Well, I did too. I got to hear everything Sarah would say, and just an incredible woman of God, counselor. And when I was in seminary, I called her, and I had to do an evangelism project, and I had to talk to different people about evangelism, and I knew she shared her faith a lot. And so I called her, and somewhere in our questions, I asked her something, and she had this way of talking, and she just said, well, Derek, I would much rather please Jesus and displease men than to please men and displease Jesus, wouldn't you? And I said, yeah, that makes sense. She had it down. Please Jesus, if you've got to, you know, you please Jesus, it might be that you displease a lot of others. It might have been that Peter displeased all these Judaizers. Wherever you are in your places that you frequent, the circles that you go, it might be that you displease a lot of other people around you because you're pleasing Jesus. Live for him. Jesus did it this way. Right before they showed him that denarius, and they said, are we supposed to pay taxes to Caesar? Right before they said that, you know what they said to him? They came to him trying to stump him, trying to trick Jesus and trying to catch him. And they came to him. You might remember what they said to him. They said, teacher, we know that you are not swayed by men, nor do you pay any attention to who they are. But should we? And then they went on from there. But hold on right there. That's how Jesus lived. We know that you are not swayed by men. Jesus wasn't swayed by men. He just stayed in line with the Heavenly Father. He lived for an audience of one. We need to be like that. Live to please Jesus. You only have to please Christ. Next, you are justified by faith in Christ, not by obeying the law. Notice that next. In this good news grace. You are justified by faith in Christ, not by obeying the law. We see that in 15 and 16. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law. That is, by all this law that God has laid out, this ceremonial law. And we know, verse 16, know that a man is not justified, made right with God, right? To get salvation, to be able to go to heaven, to be made right with God, to be saved, all the same thing. We know that a man is not justified by observing the law, that is, by you doing a good job obeying the best you can and knowing all the rules and obeying the best you can. A man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith, and notice he says it like two or three times right here, just to really emphasize it. Make sure that you get this, and I get this. Verse 16, know that a man's not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. The way a person is justified is they put their faith in Jesus. Not by obeying all the rules, by putting their faith in Jesus. That's how. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If you're trying to just obey all the rules and obey God's law, you won't be justified. No one will be justified that way. Nobody can be good enough. We're all sinners. You could never obey all the rules good enough. You're justified by faith in Christ. You put your faith in Jesus and what he's done for you and him. He does it all. He justifies you. And so you are justified by faith in Christ, not by obeying the law. We were just at the beach this past week, and I went out. We learned of this this deep dish Chicago style pizza last year. We found it and learned of it, and it's kind of way on down Highway 98. And I had to go pick it up on this night. And I was headed out there, and I stopped at a Tom Thumb gas station to get some gas. And finished pumping my gas and went to get back in the car, and it wouldn't open. And I went around all sides, and I thought, well, maybe the bad door will be open. We got one that's got a messed up lock. It was all locked. I felt in my bathing suit. Didn't feel any keys. What's going on here? That pizza's ready. It's already late, too. And my keys were right in there on the seat. So anyway, long story short, I can tell you the rest of the story later. But the part I want to get to is in that process, while I was in the store, my cell phone was in there, too. So while I was borrowing a phone and trying to find out the hotel number and things like that. In the midst of all that, a young lady was standing in line, and I was waiting on all this stuff to work out, and so I just offered her a pocket cross, and she thanked me and went on outside, and then I felt led to even go give her a track. So I stepped out, walked up, followed her out, and I said, hey, check this thing out, too. I said, this is about Jesus, this little booklet. And I said, do you feel like you know him yet? You feel like you have a relationship with him yet? And she was like, well, maybe. She was like, I used to, but not anymore. And, you know, and she went on to share that she said, you know, not too long ago, I was just praying that God would just change my life. Just my life is not good, all these things. And, you know, just that God would change my life. And then she goes, you know what? She said, it was on this highway. She said, I was passing by this highway right here. I said, man, God really tries to reach you right in this area, doesn't he? And she said, what a coincidence. I said, there's no coincidence. He's God's working on you. But anyway, as we talked on and on, I shared the gospel with her and went through that. And I asked her, at one point I stopped in the conversation, I said, I'll call her Tina. And I said, Tina, what about this? I said, what if you just died tonight? You know, you leave here, you get in a car accident on your way. She lived in Pensacola. You get in a car accident, and then you're all of a sudden you're face to face with Jesus, and he says, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you tell him? And she said, I don't know. I don't really know. She said, I don't think I would be worthy to get in there. I don't think I could get in. And I said, why not? But she basically said, I haven't been good enough. I haven't been good enough. And so, of course, I got to share this good news. Hey, look at this. It's not by your obedience. anything you can do, you can't be good enough. You're a sinner if you just admit that and believe, put your faith in Jesus. Believe in everything that he did for you. He did it all. You don't have to be good enough. You just come to him. You put your faith in Jesus. You repent and put your faith in him. And but so many people are trying to obey the law in some degree or another, trying to do something other than just putting their faith in Christ. And some people confuse it. Some people say, well, faith without works is dead. And I know a lot of people that bring that up, but what's going on there is faith in Christ produces good works. Your faith in Christ justifies you or saves you, but then he comes in, and that true faith brings out good works. All of a sudden, he lives in you now, and he's going to start working through you, and then good works are produced. Good works are a result of a true faith in Christ. Good works are produced, and that's why a faith would be dead if you don't have any good works to show for it. Christ is probably not living in you. You're probably not truly saved yet. And so, good news, grace. You only have to please Christ. You are justified by faith in Christ, not by obeying the law. And next, you are to live. Notice, you are justified by faith in Christ, not by obeying the law. Next is, you are to live by faith in Christ who is in you, and not by obeying the law. So once you're saved, now you're also to live the same way you're saved. You're to live by faith in Christ. Christ who is in you. Look at Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I'm gone. The old me in my sins, you know. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And now the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now my job, once I'm saved by that faith in Christ, I'm to live by faith in Christ. I'm to know that he lives in me, he's in me, and he wants to live his life through me. But I got to surrender and know that I'm dead to self. Surrender and trust him and live by faith in him. Let him live through me. Live by faith. Now the life I live in the body, I live by faith in him who loved me. Christ who is in me, I live by faith in him who loved me and gave himself for me. So you live the same way that you were saved. You are to live by faith in Christ who is in you, not by obeying the law. You don't live your life as a believer trying to figure out a bunch of laws and then obey them the best you can. You live focused on Jesus who is in you and who is everywhere. You live with your eyes fixed on him by faith in him. Trust in him to live through you. Trust in him to do it. God says also in his word, not by might. That's your trying. That's your effort. Not by might. Not by power. You trying to obey. You trying to do everything right. You trying to live the Christian life. Not by might. Not by power. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's what God tells us in Zechariah. It's by his spirit. He wants to live through you. You trust him. So you need to stop. I do too. You and I need to stop trying and start trusting. You live the Christian life not trying to be a good Christian, but trusting him who is in you. You trust him. Only he can live it. You can't live it. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They're the ones that are going to mount up on wings like eagles and soar. It's those who wait upon the Lord, not try, and power and might. It's those who wait upon the Lord. That means to trust in him. It means to look expectantly to him, to depend on him. They will soar on wings like eagles. It's by his spirit. Spirit soars. If you could be... Now, you might not like Auburn, but the eagle, his name is Spirit. You just think about that. The eagle that they have there in Auburn. But you just, that's how we're to live. By the Spirit, you trust the Lord and you soar. And finally, if you could be justified by obeying the law, Christ died for nothing. If you could be justified, be made right with God by obeying the law, then Christ died for nothing. It wouldn't make any sense. Look at verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. If you could obey well enough and be a good enough person to help yourself get to heaven, then Christ died for nothing. And as much as you are dependent on yourself trying to do the right things and be good enough to get to heaven, and as much as you add that to your faith in Christ, well, I'm being a good person and I'm doing that, and well, your faith is split. You're trusting in yourself and your good works and your righteousness, and you're trusting in Christ. And you know what that does? It's a mockery to him. It lessens what he did for you. He did everything. What are you saying? That what he did is not good enough? It's not enough? See, he did it all. You turn away from yourself. That's what repentance is. You turn away from yourself and your good works and the things you're trying to do. You turn totally to him. And you say, it is enough what you have done. I totally trust you. Thank you for your grace. If you could be justified by obeying the law, Christ died for nothing. And remember Galatians 2:20. Commit that to memory. And it's the same way that you live. It's the same way that you live. If you could think about it, because of Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Think about it. The same is true for living. If you could live the Christian life, yourself, if you could do it by might and your power and your human effort, if you could live the Christian life, think about it, the same, according to Galatians 2:20, the same must be true. Then Christ lives for nothing. Think about it. Then why does Christ live in you? He's trying to live his life through you. If you can do it, if you can be a good Christian, what's Christ doing in you to live? Why is he in there to live through you? He lives. He wants to live through you. You got to repent and stop trying and start trusting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good news, Lord, for dads to empower them, Lord, to be saved and to be the fathers you desire to be by not trying but trusting you to be the fathers through them. Lord, we thank you for this good news and this grace for others, for everybody here, Lord, that we all need to stop trying and start trusting, Lord. If there's anyone here today, Lord, who's been trying to make sure that they'll be in heaven one day, oh, Lord, help them to repent. Help them to repent right now and to say, God, I see it now. I see it. I admit to you I'm a sinner. I could never get to heaven. I could never be good enough. I see it. And I believe that you are good enough, Jesus. And I believe that you live the perfect life I can never live. And I believe you took all my sins and you died for me. You paid for all my sins. And I believe that you're raised from the dead. I believe in who you are, that you're God in the flesh, the Son of God. And so, Jesus, right now, I turn, I repent. I stop trying, and I'm sorry that I've been trying to be a good person. I'm sorry I've been trying to get myself to heaven. I repent, I turn from that, and I trust you to get me there, Lord. Now I'm just putting my faith in Christ. I trust you to do it, Lord. And I give my life to you. I surrender to you. I turn my life over to you. And Lord, for all those who are believers, and Lord, they want to surrender and just stop trying to live the Christian life, help them to pray and say, Lord, forgive me for doing it all in my own strength, my might, my effort, trying to be a good Christian, trying to live the Christian life, and trying and failing and trying. Lord, help me to repent, to stop, and help me to trust you. You who live in me, help me to live by faith in you, who loved me and gave himself for me. You who lives in me, Jesus, and please live your life through me. Lord, help every one of us to do that. And Lord, seal this message in our hearts that we only have to please you, Christ. That we are justified by faith in you, Christ, and not by obeying the law. And that that we are to live by faith in you, Christ, who is in us, and not by obeying the law. And Lord, that thank you for this truth that if we could be justified by obeying the law, then you died for nothing. Us to live it out. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if God spoke a message of good news, grace to you this morning, and you realize the truth now, and you're coming to him now, and you're saying, man, I'm turning away from myself. I'm just, my faith's just in Christ. to save me. Then you come when Chris leads us in the song. You come and walk down this aisle. Let us all know that. We'll rejoice with you. That means you are now his child. Behold, all things have become new. Old things are gone. New things have come. And you're a new creation in Christ. Maybe you're joining this church this morning. You've realized this is where the Lord wants me. This is where I'm supposed to be. You can come when Chris leads us in this song. Or maybe you need to pray about some of these issues. Maybe you haven't been letting Christ be Lord and rule and live through you. Maybe your hands have been on your own Christian life way too much, and it's been you and not him, Lord. And so you do whatever the Lord tells you and pray about these things as Chris leads us.